الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. If a person has to look at any building or any structure, even if it is the tallest skyscraper, we'll find that it comprises of individual components known as bricks. And it is the bricks collectively that contribute to the strength of the structure. In the grand scheme, if one or two bricks are weak, then on account of the bricks that are beside it, the weakness can be compensated and overlooked. But if collectively all the bricks become weak, begin to deteriorate, then the fall and collapse of the structure will be imminent. In the very same way, the hadith has resembled the Muslim ummah to a structure. Al-Muslimuna kal-bunyan, approximate words of the hadith. Yashuddu ba'duhum ba'da, that every single Muslim gives and lends strength to his fellow Muslim brother, contributing to the strength and collective condition of the ummah. We find when we examine the Muslim ummah today, we find that throughout the world there is a gradual deterioration and degeneration of the condition of the ummah. Gradually the ummah is drifting away from deen, where the masjids are becoming more and more empty, and the sunnah is leaving lives of people, and love for the sunnah and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gradually, slowly leaves many people's hearts. Although alhamdulillah there are many people who come closer to deen, but by and large when we look, we find that people are going further and further from deen. So collectively the condition of the ummah is deteriorating. And the solution for this will be for every brick of the ummah to be strengthened. Now every brick of the ummah refers to every household within the ummah. Every household is like a brick. If a household is stable, then every household which is stable contributes to a stable society. If a person has to go and ask any teacher in a school, or any apa in a maktab as well, it will be their experience almost undoubtedly that the most disruptive of children, the children who are most dysfunctional, have the biggest behavioral issues and problems, are those that come from dysfunctional homes. But you find when there's stability in the home, then the children are stable. Overall, the ummah becomes stable, society and the community becomes a stable community. Now the effort to make a home stable lies with the parents of that home. When the parents of that home, especially the father who is the captain of the ship and the pilot of the plane, when he makes an effort for the deen of that home, for deen to come into his wife, for deen to come into his children, and obviously for him to have deen in his own life, then we find that deen enters that home, there's stability in that home, and that home begins to progress in deen and in dunya as well. Now if you look from all the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's undoubtedly Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Imamul Anbiya and the greatest of all the anbiya. And after Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the next greatest Nabi of Allah Ta'ala was Hazrat Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now together with being the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he was also a father, he also had a household. And there are many lessons that can be learned from the blessed life of Hazrat Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, as far as the vision that he had for his household, the fikr and concern that he had. We find that he takes his infant child, Hazrat Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and his mother Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, and he leaves them in the middle of the desert. Outwardly, survival seems impossible. There's no vegetation, no trace of society or habitation, there's no shelter. They are left at the mercy of the elements. But the effort of iman was made on the wife. So she asked Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, did Allah Ta'ala command you to leave us here? So he indicates to her that yes, it is by the command of Allah that I'm leaving you here. Immediately her mind is at ease, her heart is at ease. She has no worry, she has no concerns. She says, إِذَنْ لَا يُضِيعَنَا. In that case, Allah Ta'ala will not allow us to perish. Allah Ta'ala will look after us. At the time of leaving them, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam turns to Allah Ta'ala and makes dua. And the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam highlights to us his priorities at that time. His values, his priorities, what was his fikr and concern? He says, رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. He says, oh Allah, I have left my progeny, I have left my family here in a valley which is completely barren. There's no vegetation, there's no food for them. Then the first dua he makes, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh Allah, make it such that my progeny must be firm and steadfast on salah. The first concern we'll think is where they're going to get food and water from. His first concern was for this salah. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So the effort was made for salah. And today we have it the other way around. Many of us, our first concern is how are our children going to eat? So you ask a father, what do you want for your child in life? And this will show you the value of that father, his vision for his child. So the father will generally speak of the profession. I want my son to become a doctor, to become a lawyer. Or I want my son to succeed me in the business. He must continue my business after me. And these are permissible aspirations. But the primary concern, how many fathers will say, I want my son to be a 5 times namazi. I want my son to become a wali and the friend of Allah. How many fathers will tell you, I want my son to become a jannati. That sometimes is almost an afterthought, na'uzubillah. But the first concern here was for the salah. And Allah Ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an Majid, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Command your family to be steadfast on salah. And وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You yourself be steadfast on salah. How many times you find the child is there for Fajr Salah? Why? Because he got his class after Fajr. But he caught a lift and came with somebody else. His father is fast asleep. What type of example is his father leaving for his own child? And then obviously we mentioned the effort was made on the iman of the mother. So the mother and father are cooperating in deen. And this is something which is matloob and desired in deen as well. For there to be cooperation between the husband and wife for the sake of deen. You must remember, marriage is a partnership. But it's not like a business partnership. A person makes a business partnership, he can just enter into a partnership in tutus. But when a person performs nikah, the name of Allah is taken. It's a khutbah that is recited. Because this is not a dunyawi partnership only, it's a partnership of deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made special dua for that husband and wife who cooperate in deen. May Allah shower his special mercy on that husband who wakes his wife up for tahajjud. And that wife that wakes her husband up for tahajjud, indicating that this, the mindset of the husband and wife need to be, how can we work in both of us assisting each other in deen so that the children also can come onto deen. So the mindset needs to be right. Now if this effort is not made, sometimes the husband, alhamdulillah, has concern for deen, he goes for deeni programs, he goes out in the path of Allah, he goes and sits for the majlis of some pious person. Or sometimes it's the wife who has the speaker, she attends the ta'aleem, etc. But there's no concern for the spouse. So there's no ta'aleem done at home. At home there's no talk of deen. Then what happens is the husband and wife are not on the same wavelength. Now the husband wants to take his son for salah. He says, my son is 10 years old, I need to take him to the masjid. The mother says, no, leave him at home, he has to finish his homework. He has an assignment due tomorrow. Now the wife is becoming an impediment in the deen of the son. Now the father thinks to himself, if I'm going to put my foot down, I'm going to have conflict under the roof. So sometimes for the sake of having a happy marriage, he'll keep quiet. But the son long term suffers. I met a man, in fact I stayed one night in this man's house. He's a very old man, he's in his late 70s. So I told him, alhamdulillah, I see you tahajjud guzar, you wake up for tahajjud, you know Allah Ta'ala must give you istiqamat. So he tells me, you know, I wake up for tahajjud, but very often I don't go to the masjid for Fajr Salah. So I found this quite strange. So he himself, he tells me, I can't blame my father because, you know, I'm answerable for my own actions. But undoubtedly, because my father never took me masjid for Fajr Salah, I never developed a habit in my life. So I wake up early, I read my tahajjud, I read my fajr early, and then I get back in the bed. So he says, I can't blame my father because I'm a big person, I'm answerable for my own actions, but my father never helped me. My father never instilled a habit within me. So this now long term is telling me, I'm such an old man, until today I struggle to go to the masjid for fajr salah. So this combined effort. And we find that Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had that fikr. He would make special dua to Allah Ta'ala. رَبِّ جْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ Oh Allah, you make me steadfast on salah. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي Oh Allah, make my progeny also steadfast on salah. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of his. Now Allah Ta'ala praises Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And from all the qualities in his life, which quality is Allah Ta'ala praising in the Qur'an Majid? وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ He would command his household to be steadfast on salah. So this constancy on salah, this fikr of salah, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayh, regarded widely to be the fifth righteous khalifa of Islam, the successor of Hazrat and descendant of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, who brought the condition of the ummah during the two short years of his khilafat back to the condition that it was in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We find that when he was young, his father sent him from Egypt to Medina Munawwara to study and acquire the knowledge of deen. Now he's away from the supervision of the father. The father knows, I'm not there to see what is he up to. Is he growing up with the right values in life? So the father's worried and concerned. So the father contacts a person in Medina Munawwara named Salih bin Kaysan. And he says, I'm entrusting my son to your supervision. Please, you must keep an eye on him. And if there's anything that concerns you, immediately notify me. Make me aware of it so that it can be remedied and addressed. So one day Salih bin Kaysan notices that Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayh did not perform salah in the masjid with jamaat. Not talking about salah being mid qada. Not performed in the masjid with jamaat. So he goes to ask him, what happened? Were you sick today? What was your excuse? He says, no, the slave girl was neatening my hair. And on account of that, I became late and that is why I missed the salah. Now this was very, very worrying. Because it means the required value and importance that should be attached to salah was not there. That on account of something as trivial as neatening the hair, the salah was missed in the masjid. So he immediately writes a letter to the father. Abdul Aziz bin Marwan was the father. As soon as he gets this, he's worried. He says, I need to make the islah of my son. He needs to be taught a lesson. In such a way that for his entire life, he will never forget the importance of salah. So islah is made in different ways. His islah was, he instructs Salih bin Kaysan, that as soon as you get my letter, my message, my reply, go immediately to my son and shave his head bald. That hair which became an impediment, an obstacle in his deen, remove that from his life so that this message goes deep into his heart. Now as we are speaking, deen of and the tarbiyat of the child is a cooperation between the parents. If you look realistically in society, more often than not, the father is out of the home majority of the time. It is the mother who is spending most of the time with the child. If the mother does not have the same concern as the father, or the father does not have the same concern as the mother, it is very difficult for those children to come onto line. As we said, father and mother need to be on the same wavelength. How often it does not happen? Were they not on the same wavelength, then the children become so conniving, they learn to play and manipulate one parent against the other. So the father tells the child, let's go for namaz. The child will go and cry by the mother will say, never mind, leave him. Because the father is worried about salah and the mother doesn't attach that amount of importance to salah. Or vice versa, the mother wants to send him for salah, but the father is feeling lazy, so he makes an excuse, he's not going. At the end of the day, it is to the detriment of the child begins to suffer. We look among the ulama of the recent past, there's a very, very great alim, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a sayyid as well, from the progeny of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. He passed away 31st of December 1999. He was an alim of such international acclaim and renown that his janaza salah was even performed in the Haram Sharif. Allah Ta'ala just made it. I was there. Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq. We happened to be there at the time and witness it as well. He passed away in India and reading his janaza salah in Medina Munawwara. This alim, his father passed away when he was very, very young. I think he was about 6 or 7 years old. So his upbringing was done by his mother. So the many lessons that his mother taught him, it's a very interesting read to see how his mother raised him to become such an alim who had international acceptance. But he says, one thing my mother taught me and was very, very firm was salah. He says, I didn't have a father, so naturally my mother felt sorry for me. She was very soft and compassionate. But when it came to salah, she was unrelenting. We can imagine in India, in summer, Isha salah is very, very late. And Fajr salah is very early as well. He says, regardless, my mother would wake me up for Fajr Salah and send me to the masjid. She would wake me up, make sure I wake up, send me to the masjid. He's maybe staggering home, he's so sleepy and tired. You want to get straight back into the bed. She would not allow him to go to sleep till he read some Qur'an-i-Majid first. He says sometimes it would be late in the night, time of Isha, before that my eyes would close, involuntarily I'll fall asleep. My mother won't say, never mind, he's still small. We know when that tree starts growing, it's still small. If the trunk is not kept upright, it begins to grow crooked. Once that trunk becomes firm and crooked, if you try and straighten it, you'll break the tree. That tree will perish. The time to straighten the tree is when it's still small. If the tree is left when it's still small, then sometimes there's no hope of straightening it thereafter. He says, my mother would wake me up, insist that I read my Isha Salah, then only she'd allow me to go back to sleep. So this concern for Salah, which is the most basic and fundamental obligation in deen after Iman. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua, waj'al afidatan minan nas tahwi ilayhim. Oh Allah, you make it such that they are beloved to people around the world. Everybody's hearts must naturally incline towards them. And then he makes dua for their rozi. Warzuqhum min athamarat. That was the last dua that he made. Warzuqhum min athamarat. Oh Allah, you provide them with different forms of sustenance. And the Mufassirin mentioned that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam did not make dua that, oh Allah, you make Makkah a fertile land. Because if Makkah became a fertile land, they would have to engage in farming to get their rozi. He did not want them to be engaged in the dunya. Oh Allah, you send the fruit to them without them engaging in the dunya. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala gave anybody tawfiq and blessed them to go to the holy land of Makkah Mukarramah. May Allah Ta'ala take everybody time and time again. Fruit we never saw here, we'll see there. Fruit from Indonesia and from all around the world. Allah Ta'ala took it there. So this dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was accepted to such an extent that the barakat of that dua we see in that Mubarak land until today. Then we find the time comes where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is instructed in a dream by Allah Ta'ala to slaughter his son. The instruction of Allah Ta'ala was not even a completely clear instruction. One is if Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him and tells him clearly and explicitly, Allah Ta'ala wants you to do this. It was an indication in a dream. But for this Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, even the merest indication of Allah was sufficient for him to go and do exactly what Allah Ta'ala wants. Now he comes to his son, young boy, and he gauges the reaction and condition of the iman of his son. He tells him, "Ara fil manam anni azbahuk," that, oh my beloved son, I saw in a dream that I'm slaughtering you. "Fanzur madha tara," tell me what you feel about this. Now let us see what is the reaction of his son. If the tarbiyat of that son was done correctly, that son will be on board immediately. But if that son is not on the same wavelength as the father, the son, his tarbiyat was not done correctly, then the son will say, my father, it's just a dream. In your dreams, na'uzubillah. He says, "Ya abatif alma tu'mar," oh my beloved father, definitely you must do what Allah is commanding you. He tells him, "Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin." You will find me to be from among those who are patient. I will cooperate with you completely. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, they had such a bond, father and son, cooperating with one another. Allah Ta'ala chose the two of them to cooperate as father and son partnership and erect the Kaaba Sharif. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam is bringing the stones. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is laying the stones and they build the Kaaba Sharif together, father and son partnership. And this is also something that is lacking in family units today. The cohesion, meaning the bond between the parents and the children. Unfortunately today, many parents are in their own world and the children are in their own world. Sometimes it's because so little family time is spent together. The whole day the father's out, the mother is out, the children are out. How much do we actually have we bonded? How much have we related with our children? How much of communication is there with the children? Do we even know who our children are? Do we know what are their values in life? Do we know who their friends are? Do we know what they like, what they do? Do we even know how they are thinking? But if there's time set aside daily where there's just casual bonding, even if it's done in a humorous way, so that there's not too much of formality, and the children can open up to their parents. They can say, in school today, you know, the teacher taught us this. Today in school, my friend told me this. Sometimes there are such barriers between the parents and children, they are completely alienated from one another. Now they're living under one roof, they have the same name, but na'uzubillah, they're like strangers to one another. But if their communication and bonding is strong, and sometimes the father must take out that time to play with his children, whether it's making Lego blocks, whether it's to kick the ball in the yard. But this is what brings that love. Now that child won't hesitate to turn to his father when he's confused in life. That, Papa, you told us this is haram, but today in school the teacher told us this. Now the father can nip it in the bud, he can explain to his child that this is haram, it's not allowed in deen. But today the father's too busy on his phone. Even when he's eating a meal, he's on his phone. He walks in the door, he's on his phone. He walks out, he's on his phone. When he lies in bed, he's not reading kalimas, he's on his phone. And then he falls asleep, maybe even holding that phone. He wakes up in the morning, forgot to charge the phone. That becomes the first concern. So now the child is confused. He doesn't even think of turning to his father. He doesn't even think of turning to his mother. Why? Because that door has never been opened. So where he'll go and look for guidance? Maybe his friends. Maybe he's bonded with the teacher. It is important to send our children to maktab madrasas. But we cannot expect that maktab molana or that apa to be a parent to our child. That apa is sitting there with 20 children in the class. She's got 2 hours. How can she parent the child? She can teach the child the duas. But it is us at home who have to make sure the children are reading the duas. They can teach the child about using the right hand when eating. And using the right side first when wearing the shoes. But they're not there in our house to see if the child is doing it or not. That is the responsibility of the parents. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to raise such children who will become investments for us after we leave this world, who will become the coolness of our eyes during our lifetime, who will send reward for us when we're in our graves, and will be an assistance for us on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.